By definition, ambassadors are representatives of their sovereign and their nation. We have the privilege to discuss and represent our sovereign, Jesus Christ, and his kingdom for his glory. Join us as we seek him first. Welcome to Ambassador Talks.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Ambassador Talks. Ambassador Talks is brought to you by Ambassador Baptist Church in Hudson, North Carolina. For more information, visit ambassadorbaptistchurch.org. We're coming to you today after some a little bit of a lengthy hiatus, but we're back with a new episode and a fresh topic for you this morning or this afternoon or whenever you may be listening to it on your car, in your car, on the way to work. We have a topic of something that may hit home, something that you may have read in the news concerning some comments made by a semi-local pastor, but the issue is doubt. And we're not going to talk just about this pastor or even just his comments, but it does bring a nice springboard, a nice couple of talking points to talk about this issue of doubt. Is it part of our Christian life? Is it something that you're struggling with? Is it something that I struggle with on a daily basis? Should we be doing that? And what's the origin of it? What's the meaning of it all? How do we think about this just along with Scripture? There's a lot of facets that we could go and a lot of things that we could talk about, but I am joined. Before we do that, let me introduce our guest, our cohort. It is a voice that you've heard on this podcast before. He's a member of Ambassador Baptist Church here. His name is Michael Lyons. Michael, good to have you.
Hey, it's good to be here, Nathan. Thanks for having me on.
No problem. And we're going to be tackling this issue today of doubt and be just, you know, kind of a round table type discussion of it with only the two that we have here. But what brought this topic upon us, and it was really kicked off by Pastor Setzer too, who preached a recent message on that. And if you want to hear that, his message on doubt, you can visit the church's website that I mentioned earlier, and you can download a sermon there as well and keep up with that. But it is this issue of doubt, and it is something that plagues a lot of Christians. It is something that might creep into the mind of a lot of people. But what brought this on, what brought this to the forefront, is a pastor in North Carolina that said some interesting comments about doubt. And he is a megachurch pastor. And, you know, I'll say his name, not just to name names, but just, you know, because it's out there. And it's a recent article and all that, and you can Google it and check it out. Christian Post has some articles on it along with some other people, but is the issue of doubt, as said by Stephen Furtick, the pastor of Elevation Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. Now, the reason these things piqued our interest is because of his optimistic, his really just idea of the benefit of doubt, the idea of doubting helping you in your Christian life, and that we all have it. And I'll talk about some exact quotes from him here in a minute. What do you know much about this message, Michael? Do you know?
Well, I haven't listened to his message, so I want to be careful anytime we're talking about
right
what somebody said. I realize there's context to that, but mm-hmm. You did mention a word, and that's benefit.
Yep.
And that is an interesting nuance, just to say the least, to describe doubt as a benefit. Because doubt is never referred to in the Scripture as a good thing. I was just reading Mark chapter 9 before we started here, and even someone who believed in God, who brought their own child forth to be healed in faith, I mean, that's, what did he say? He said, help my unbelief. He's asking, and he's not referring to his doubt as a good thing. He didn't say, you know, I'm glad I had this doubt
right.
that you could do this.
Right.
So I don't know that we should look at our doubt as something that's good or constructive.
Mm.
And especially understanding Furtick correctly, he's really talking about having a doubt in the scripture. Is that kind of your understanding?
Well, the comments are pretty interesting here. Let me read them right quick. This is what Furtick had to say in relation to one of his campus pastors who led some people in the sinner's prayer. And he has issue with him saying, without a doubt, in his prayer. And he says, he goes on to say this, that one parenthetical insert, without a doubt, I told him never say again when you stand in the pulpit at Elevation, do I want you to put people into a position to pray something that they can't honestly pray? In fact, don't put them in a position to pray something that you can't honestly pray, because there's not one of you in the room, even with the tabs in your pink Bible, that can honestly say the sinner's prayer without a doubt. And if you can, hang on, you haven't had teenagers yet. That's his, you know, verbatim comment upon this sinner's prayer that was executed at his church by one of his campus pastors. And so, you know, I don't know. It's hard, that we mentioned a while ago, context is king, and it's hard to really understand his complete context of things. But it does sound like to me that you can't have salvation without a little bit of doubt. I mean, that's what he's saying.
Well, you know, Nathan, I'm not trying to question a man's motive, because it would be impossible for me to do that what he's really thinking. But I know this, the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, but without faith, it is impossible to please him.
Mm.
And so we're talking about leading these, obviously, young people or anybody in a prayer as they for maybe the first time in their life come to exhibit and testify of their faith in Jesus. We don't want to start that out with a doubt.
Mm.
I mean, that's not the foundation you want to build on. You want to build on strong faith. All right, for example, let's just think about the gospel a second. The death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ for our sins. What is there to doubt? My position, gentlemen, is if you're doubting the most essential essentials, are you ready to trust Christ?
Hmm. That's a good and fair point. You know, the comment that he makes there about, well, you haven't had teenagers yet. I'm not sure exactly what that really has to do with mm-hmm. with salvation. I mean,
that's
know
a little out there.
I know what he's saying. The more you live, the more you the more you see in this life. I guess that's where he's going with it, but I don't see how that relates to salvation. Now, to me, if what he means is that every person has probably, had some doubts at certain points in their life, but that's not what he's talking about here. He's talking about praying a prayer of repentance.
We've all
and having
had,
doubt in that moment.
Yeah, we've all had questions. I mean, I can say right now, you know, I would have maybe questions about the Bible. We discussed this. I firmly believe that God parted the waters of the Red Sea. Michael, I can't tell you how God did that, okay? I don't know that, and I don't have to know that, but I do know that he did it. So it's one thing to have a question, but to have a question is entirely different than having a doubt.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to me sometimes what causes doubt, or the lack of faith, if you will, is really lack of wisdom, right? Mm-hmm. If we can trust that God is always telling the truth and that his word is the truth, the scripture says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing comes by what? The word of God.
The word of God, yes.
I don't have to understand, like what you're saying, mm-hmm. I don't have to understand how everything happened,
mm-hmm.
but I can start by saying, I know it happened mm-hmm. because God said it happened. Mm-hmm. And then, but there's no place for doubt in the Christian's life. It doesn't mean that it's not there, but I think we should call doubt what it is, and it's sin, it's unbelief.
Well, based upon what Nathan just commented on there, evidently the gentle rebuke to the associate pastor came as he was trying to counsel or lead people in a prayer of salvation. Is that how you understood that, Nathan?
Right,
and
yeah.
So I don't understand where trying to tell people maybe are suggesting to people if you have a doubt, you know, maybe you could have a doubt. I just think if you have a doubt, back up. Something's not right yet.
Well, he goes on to say what I'm fixing to read here, and it's weird to me that it's kind of shifting the focus of what he initially talks about, and what initially brings this whole thing on is that his campus pastor said this little statement without a doubt, and then he, you know, chimes in and says, well, you know, I don't think we can really say that. And that tends to make me think that he's talking about the moment of salvation. Well, then he goes on to say that I don't believe this, parentheses, Bible, is what he's referring to, because I don't doubt it. If you don't doubt it, you're not reading it, or you're reading it with no intent to live it. See, my doubt is the evidence of my growth. That's a big statement right there. That's a weird one there. The closer I get, the more questions I have. I struggle to believe it, that I'm forgiven, that he forgives me not only before I accepted him, but for what I still do. Maybe he can forgive the past stuff, but what about the present stuff? I have my doubts. I have my faith, but I have my doubts. So there he's shifted from this doubt at the moment of salvation to just some doubts he has that gets raised while he's studying. So there seems to be an inconsistency of what he means by doubt.
Yeah, I'm about confused.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. Why do we have the creeds? Why did we put that stuff? And it wasn't because we wanted people to doubt things. It was because we wanted them to know.
Absolutely.
This is what I believe. We believe. I mean, we make that statement, and it's attested by this and that and so forth and so on in those creeds. And the reason that those things were invented was to nail down what we believe without a doubt. That is the point.
When I'm thinking about specifically about the point of coming to salvation, coming to a relationship with Jesus Christ, what does the scripture say in 1 John? It says, these things are right unto you that ye may know that you have eternal life.
That's exactly what we're saying.
I mean, it's God doesn't want us to doubt.
Right.
And when I'm reading James, especially, doubt's not described as a good thing. And a man with doubt is not described as being somebody that's in a good position with God. Is actually described as a double-minded man and unstable in his ways. And that's not something that anybody wants to be. We want a strong foundation.
And to me, that's not to kick rocks at anybody that does doubt. I'll just share a little bit of a personal thing about me, and that when I was probably 20 or so, I did have some doubts. I did have some concerns. And I wasn't spiritually minded, I mean, as the Bible would say. I wasn't walking with Christ, but I did have my doubts. And I went and researched some things, read some things, and, you know, got things in order, got things in line, understood why I believed in what I believed and why I believed it. Now, if those things, I'm not criticizing people for having those kind of doubts, but I do think what we're saying is true, that it lends itself to a type of immaturity. I didn't know, you know, I didn't know.
Well, you hit upon something right there. I think that ties the doubt into better understanding, is that you were not really living for the Lord. You were not maybe where you needed to be in your own Christian spiritual life, and hence you had some doubts, and then you addressed that as you sought the Lord more in a more close manner and sought the word of the Lord, and those doubts were alleviated. Is that fair to say that?
That's fair to say, and that's what I don't want to kick rocks at people for thinking, well, man, I've had my doubts. Well, you know, what we would encourage you to do is, you know, get into the Bible. Read, you know, very good sources on the Bible of people who've researched and done things apologetically and issues of whatever you might be struggling with. And those doubts, I think, are maybe normal is not the right word, but I think in our lives, I think we come upon things like that. But I think this is a little bit of a different issue here. I think this is something that he's talking about actually benefits your life. And I wouldn't look back on that and say, I benefited from my doubt.
No.
I benefited from my study because of my doubt,
right.
but my doubt shouldn't be the determining factor of my study.
Absolutely, absolutely. No doubt. Doubt is not a good thing. It's not something that's going to build confidence into your life. And I would say a lot of times, and of course, I can understand that some people have doubts as they have been challenged in on the college level, or maybe on the high school level, in certain areas that they don't understand, or they don't understand yet. And so hopefully those doubts will drive them into a deeper experience in studying the Word of God.
I think you mentioned an important word when you were talking about doubt and time of having doubts, and that was study. Mm. And something that James links with doubt is wisdom. And so I find that whenever I'm doubting something, and which I'll tell you, you know, we all doubt things, but it is because we're in sin. We don't trust the Lord to do something. It's because we're sinning. Mm. But when I doubt something, a lot of times it comes from my own ignorance because I haven't asked him for wisdom. And James links that doubt to wisdom. And he's saying, if any of you lacks wisdom, ask God, right? And then, but he says, but ask in faith, not doubting.
Absolutely.
Very good point. Very good point. And I think, you know, what you said too is important about the sinning part of it. And, you know, that's not a very popular thing to say. It's not a popular thing to talk about. And we're not just a bunch of guys over here with hammers in our hands ready to, you know, thump you whenever you sin. But that is the case. I mean, most of the time in our lives, when we doubt, when we aren't in line with God's teaching, I mean, what's the definition of that other than sin? You know, I mean, that's what it is. We are sinning. And thus, we need to repent of that and, you know, be back on track with nothing better to say on that in that phraseology there, but we need to get back to the study, but we also have to be, you know, cognizant of the fact that we are sinning. And so we've talked a little bit about, you know, a lot about the benefit. Is there a benefit to doubting, or is doubting normal? But as we kind of wrap up here, what can we say about conquering doubt? What can we do to conquer? We've kind of touched that a little bit. We've kind of talked around it a little bit. But what can we do on a daily basis to conquer our doubts and our fears?
I would say number one is we absolutely need time in the Bible, time in the Word of God, personal study of the Scriptures. It's amazing amount of free study tools that are out on the internet today.
Good point.
To help us with our Bible study, interlinears and things of this nature, to do word studies with. So we need to read the Word of God. We need to study the Word of God. We need to be faithful in a good Bible preaching, teaching church where we're being admonished, where we can, our faith can grow around others.
You know, I agree 100%, Pastor, and to supplement that reading, or I don't want to say supplement, just along with reading, I believe we need to ask God to help us, just like the man in Mark chapter 9.
Absolutely.
Help me in my unbelief, and that's just another word for doubt. It's unbelief, not believing God. So when we don't understand, when we don't have wisdom, we ask God for that, and when we see that we're doubting, that we're not believing him, we need to ask him to help us with our unbelief.
Nathan, should we maybe question our motives sometimes? Do some people maybe want to use doubts as an excuse not to believe?
Yeah, I think there's definitely a good reason to question your motive. I mean, motive is what determines a right or wrong in an action. You know, so I mean, it has to be looked at. It has to be considered. Self-analyzing is always helpful. I mean, you know, don't beat yourself up, but there's always good to self-analyzation. You look at the Psalms. What did David do? David talked to himself a lot. Why are you downcast, oh my soul? That's a form of talking to yourself and to analyze your own mind.
I guess where I was going maybe a little bit with that right there. Obviously, the question of faith and doubt comes in a lot of times. with the whole subject of evolutionary theory, Darwinism.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and all that goes back to that, creationism, you know, but the Bible says that faith is the substance or the foundation of things hoped for.
Mm-hmm.
And with faith, and we were talking the other night, faith is about, like I said, a spiritual eyes. We're going to take God's word. We're going to believe it. Of course, we don't have mm-hmm. time in this broadcast to go in and all the reasons that we have to have absolute confidence in the Bible.
Mm.
But I believe the Bible. I believe God's word. I believe it is from Him. I believe He gave it to us.
Well, you two guys hit on the major parts of it there, study and pray. I mean, that's what we can do, and we can do a lot of that. If we aren't praying, then we aren't seeing God's benefit in our lives. We aren't seeing His answers to our prayers. We aren't seeing our thoughts and things line up with Him, and that's one of the most important things to consider. And hopefully we've considered Ferdinand's comments fair and carefully, and I wish I knew more of what he was talking about, but he seems confused. It seems confusing to me, at least. It comes across that way. And I don't think there's ever a necessary benefit of doubt, but I think you can get past it, and you can reap benefits that way.
You know, the more you talk about benefit, I think back to being a kid. Like, why do I know not to put my hand on the stove? Because I did it one time. But am I going to say that that's a benefit for me to
true.
Do that? It's not
that's
a benefit. I wish I'd never done it in the first place. Yes,
right.
We can learn from our doubt, just like we can learn from a lot of our sins, but it's not a recommendation that we give somebody.
That's a good point as well. All right. I think it's been a great discussion on this topic. If you've got any comments or questions for us, check us out on our Facebook page at Ambassador Talks, our Twitter, or you can email us at ambassadortalks@gmail.com. And I appreciate you guys joining us, and it's been great getting back on the mics, and we'll see you again next time.